When I was a child, maybe 6 years old, I remember being in Sunday school and learning how to pray. The teacher showed us how to sit up straight and bow our heads, close our eyes, hold our hands pressed together, left thumb crossing over right. Then we were ready to say the Lord's Prayer, a Hail Mary, or read a psalm aloud, and God would hear us. As I practiced this, I wanted to get all the steps right so that I could please God and maybe learn to be holy. As I remember this first introduction to prayer, I'm grateful for the sense of embodiment, the stillness and the humility, and the confident sense that God is near. And these foundational prayers gave me language for prayer and thanksgiving and how to name my longings and fears before God. But it was hard to remember what to do when I wasn't in church and could watch other people. My body was always moving and chattering, and it felt like I had to stop being myself and adopt a different persona in order to approach God. So, praying without ceasing, as Paul tells the Thessalonians, was impossible for me. And prayer became something that happened on Sundays and mealtimes when other people called for it. And God was real, truly real, but a silent mystery at a distance. That's what I've been thinking about this week as I pondered today's gospel, the parable about the widow and the unjust judge that Luke says plainly is about the need to pray always and not lose heart. In first century Palestine, being a widow is about as powerless as you can get. With no husband, no property, no name of her own, she's dependent on others to support her and to protect her. In fact, the base word for widow, kira, points to deficiency, inadequacy. And given this status, societal norms would expect this woman to accept her vulnerability and her fate, acceding to those in power, lest she lose the few relationships that she has. But this widow doesn't do that. In spite, consistently demands justice from the judge. And although he refuses for a time, he eventually relents because, as our translation of the gospel we just heard says, he doesn't want her bothering him to the point of wearing him out. A closer translation, though, has the judge to me, giving me a black eye. That's a lot more than just annoying him. It sounds like he feels threatened in some way. So where is this story about constant prayer and not losing heart? Nowhere in the parable do we see the woman approach the judge with downcast eyes, a soft voice, and clasped hands. Given the way Jesus tells the parable, I imagine her looking the judge straight in the face and shaking her fists as she tells him how she has been wronged and demands justice. Sorry, shouts for justice. She probably wasn't mic'd at the time. So if that's what prayer looks like, then the rule book of my childhood is missing a few chapters. Because if her protest is prayer, then prayer is protest. And if her prayer is grounded in the realities and challenges of ordinary life, then that's where we also can find the source and substance of our prayer. Which means that our daily routine of working and caring and being in relationship is prayer. Doing chores, cooking meals, sharing them is prayer. Runaway laughter and gawking at beauty is prayer. Cries of grief and frustration and fear are prayer. And lament for the woundedness of our country, the injustices heaped on the most vulnerable, that is prayer too. All of life can be prayer. When everything we experience or encounter is seen in the light of God's presence, power, and grace, we are always praying. I think the widow knows that. She keeps showing up. And to do that, she must truly trust that her vulnerability and loss are not God's desire for her, but the result of an unfair and greedy system. And because she knows herself beloved as much as anyone else, chosen, as Jesus says, she knows no deficiency in herself. She has what she needs to insist on equity from the judge, who, let's review, is not God. I wonder if that's what the judge sees. A woman whose clarity, strength, and integrity don't derive from cultural standing, but from her relationship with the one God who requires justice for all people, especially the vulnerable. That is incorruptible. The judge knows his power based on fear and coercion of the weak is no match for that. So he accedes. In this parable, the widow is a model of persistence, which is another word for faithfulness. She doesn't lose heart in the face of injustice, but just keeps coming. I wonder about her relationship with God, how she understands the divine. Thinking back again to some of my early learnings about prayer, I'm remembering a sense of God out there at a distance, a God of love for sure, but remote. But the widow seems to know something different, something deeper. She knows the truth that God is not only out there, God is in here. We are never separated from the divine. We are bearers of it. We do not find the divine by searching out there, but by awakening to it in here. And that awakening is a lifelong journey of letting go and putting down and noticing what is. Letting go of the habits of mind that filter every new experience or person with judgment or comparison to what's happened in the past or what we might have expected. Letting it go. Putting down the burden of regarding our own imperfections and those of others as deficiencies, inadequacies, and instead accepting them as particularities, the places where we meet God's grace. And then we're free to notice what is, the interconnectedness of all being, the constant cycle of death and life and resurrection in creation and in our own lives, the movement of the Spirit drawing us out of ourselves in the name of God's mercy and justice. And as this awakening happens, we become more and more aware of the divine life that dwells in us, each of us. And then everything we do becomes prayer. Love, grief, service, protest, all of it. And when everything is prayer, anything is possible. Amen.